And welcome back to another episode of What the Falk podcast without Graham Falk. I'm sure he's feeling a little bit anxious right now, or having the time of his life, one of the two. I'd imagine he's having a bit more fun than we are. We're back this week. Graham's doing a little bit of travelling in Washington, D.C., I believe. Luckily, the time difference is probably preventing him from watching potentially the worst game of football we've seen for quite some time. And here to pick the bones out of it with us are, let's go firstly, Bradley Sharp. How are you doing, Bradders?
Yeah, I'm not bad, mate. I'm quite looking forward to this one, despite the shite we've had to watch today. We knew this one's going to be coming without Graham for a while, so I'm looking forward to this. I was never going to miss it, but on the football, my good Lord. Without swearing and needing much editing on this podcast, that was horrific. That was shocking. And I'm sure we'll pick the bones out of that a bit further, but I had a few hours to calm down. Yeah. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. Yeah. I'm not sure what's worse, but picking the bones out of a 0-0 or a 1-0 defeat. Probably not ideal, whichever scenario. I guess it counteracts Bowers' chat about keeping clean sheets, because when you don't keep clean sheets, you've got to put the ball in the back of the net, and I'm not quite sure we look like doing that much today. Also, to give us a hand of whinging for the rest of the podcast, we've got Lee. Lee, how are we doing, mate?
I suppose I'm all right, mate. Just nice chit chat about a dull, boring game of football, which we all love to do, isn't it? I think I said pre-podcast, I was like, it's the most boring game of football I've watched in ages. But yeah, got to chew the fat off it, didn't you?
Definitely. Well, it might make us all feel a little bit better at the end of it, I suppose, or it might make us all have a few more drinks. I know you've got a long drive tomorrow, so yeah, we're probably going to bore you to sleep, so that's a good thing for you. I guess where to start. I think one thing I'd like to start with personally from what I saw today, I guess it's a positive. I guess I've got to take it as a positive, but we probably look most dangerous from a couple of corners. I'm clutching at straws. I'm aware I'm clutching at straws, but geez, when you know teams are coming to spoil your day and stuff like that, and I know we haven't been in great form, you've got to lift things, and you've got to try and give the crowd something to cheer. And listen, the weather was quite nice today. It was quite a fresh afternoon. Where do you think it went wrong? Do you think the setup was wrong, or do you think we just haven't got an identity anymore? I guess I'll ask that to you first, Brad. Any feelings on it?
Yeah, I didn't want it to feel. I know we said like last season and before we got into the playoffs and things, we just want a season where a few games to go, nothing to play for, and just have a bit of a relax. But it's boring. The tempo, I've never seen now like us. Like you said, dangerous from corners. I'd say second half we were appalling. Ausheesh didn't beat the first man once. But first half we were putting a couple of balls in the box, and Ballard had one just over the bar, and can't remember who else put one just over, and we looked all right when the ball was coming in the box. But second half we didn't even try and do that. What annoys me the most, Dave, was, like you say, the identity's gone. But in the second half, you're chasing the game. And then the 7 minutes of added time, there was a little bit of argy-bargy. The fans got up for it a little bit more. The 7 minutes go up. Everyone's like, come on, let's go. And then we spend 7 minutes knocking it across the back foot. And then when we finally did put Ballard up top, left him up top for the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, we didn't pump the ball up into him until there was 5 seconds to go. And even then, we won a free kick in a dangerous area. Like, where was all this before? It just seems like they've just got no ideas. And that comes from when you've been saying before, if there's a novice on the sideline, don't expect them out on the pitch who've got little to no experience anyway to know any better. I mean, the biggest positive for me today was maybe Corey Evans coming back, but even his first touch, give the ball away. But him coming back on, you could just see him when he's running across, like, in that holding midfield role, pointing to players, shouting to players. You just tell him an experienced head on there, but too little too late for me. It's just, I'm just bored of it now.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. That identity, I think Graham mentioned a few times when we were finding this new identity, when we're coming out of League One, we were playing this fluid style of football, and whilst we were getting beat, we still felt as though we were in every game, and we were creating chances, looking good. And yeah, okay, every team, even Man City, they have off days in front of goals. And I think that's part and parcel of football. But we've gone from that. And I guess while we were understanding what they were trying to do, we now haven't got that, Lee, have we? And I don't even feel as though, like, the identity of Sunderland where we have put up a good fight. And it just seems to be right in no man's land, just kind of dead man's territory, purgatory, I guess, in between heaven and hell, not quite anywhere. What's your thoughts, mate?
It's if we're scared to get beat. It's like, we had a discussion last week, Dan's, if three of the bat is the best way to go, if, like, moving forward. And I get it, like, to when you're playing Leeds and West Brom away, but when you're playing Millwall at home, who are in, like, the bottom end of the league, I wouldn't have arguably played five at the back, which stifled us, really, especially when you've got, like no centre forward up front, because Bradley Dack's never done anything to warrant anything in the Sunderland shirt since he signed for the club. But yet he gets to start over a player who meant he's going to be here next season over Hamia, when you haven't got a regular centre forward, even though Hamia has not done anything to warrant getting a start. But just like last, like, you look at being in the beginning of the season, like, how we were free flowing and attacking football and not scared to make a mistake. It's like we're petrified to do the littlest of mistakes, which has led to this going backwards. Like, oh, we'll keep a clean sheet. If we nick a 1-0, we nick a 1-0. But it just, I don't know. I don't agree with that. As I said earlier, it was boring. It was just a boring game of football. Now, identity, what we had last season and the beginning of the season, just gone. And whoever comes in the summer, if he gets a remit of getting that football back, he's got a hell of a job on his hands, no matter who it is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will struggle to disagree with that. Going on to Millwall's goal, I don't want to really focus on them too much, but I think you're right in what you say, Lee, about how we're so scared to, because we've got no identity, we're so scared of what we're doing. Millwall's goal, rather. Are we going with a good goal? Or even from their point of view, if we try to take into account their player, or are we just going, it's so bad from Sunderland that it's just plain hurtful, really? What do you reckon, Brad?
I thought you were asking Lee there. I think it's a bit of both, really. But I'll give Millwall credit. They've done what we've been crying out for our players to do all season, which is get down out the outside of your fullbacks or your inside centre-halves and just put a ball in that dangerous area inside that six-yard box in between the goal and the penalty spot and either allow a defender to make a mistake or get someone on the end of it. And it works. It does work. So on their part, it was a really well worked goal. They've came set up, and that's what you say about the identity. Excuse me. The way we're playing is as if we're the team that's fighting to stay up, and we'll hold out for a point. If we nick a goal, great. But that's what the likes of Plymouth, Stoke, Millwall, Huddersfield, that's what they've done all season, and it's not great to watch. But it's effective when you're fighting to stay up. It's not effective when you want to get to where we want to be. And that goes back to where Lee's saying, like, the identity from the start of the season. I mean, the name of this podcast is going to be Identity, isn't it? I think 100 times, but from last season and this season, and if it's interesting when you hear what Dodd said through the week, where the transition from taking over when Mowbray was sacked was seamless, really, for him, just one or two tweaks. And he said taking over from Beale this time was a lot more difficult because a lot had changed. Now, that comes with Speakman's comments as well. I'm going off on a tangent here quickly. But Speakman's comments saying the reason that they appointed Beale was to become more solid at the back. But that came at a detriment to the rest of our game, the stuff that we're actually good at. And it seems like it's just all became too much of a mess now. But back to their goal, mate. Yeah, good goal on their part. But you see them scored all across the AFL, even in the Premier League. It's just clever play. You just nip in front of you. I think it was Rusin scored his first goal. He nipped just in front of the centre for the centre half and just tucked it away. So it's good centre forward play. It's a good way to get a goal. Doesn't need to be all tick attacker and 25 yards or try and walk it in. Just a couple of balls down the outside, put one in, and allow someone to make a mistake or get on the end of it, and that changes games. I mean, we could have stopped it. There was probably plenty of phases to stop that from happening. But fair play to Millwall. They created a good goal. They scored it. And it was always going to be Hunnam or Watmore, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And I was going to mention that to Lee. I saw one website has give Duncan Watmore man of the match. Always going to be someone come back and haunt us. There's that many of them out there nowadays. But your thoughts, what did you think on Duncan Watmore being back at the stadium alight?
Yeah, he played about 20 minutes, didn't he? Regards to the goal, it's basic schoolboy stuff. You stop the cross, you stop the goal. And yeah, he's beat the left back, but Pierre Edouard does his normal jog over and make some form of an effort to try and look as if I'm trying to block something, and he ends up not putting any effort in at all, and they look like an own goal for me. I didn't realise Watmore got in front of Ballard. It looked like what Ballard just likes in the back of his own net, but it was that type of game where a goal like that was going to change anything. But regards to Duncan Watmore, I can't actually remember him touching the ball after that, to be honest with you. He came on about, I think I was more sure he came on like the 65th, 70th minute. Did that, and I can't remember doing anything else. Regards to Honeyman, there was discussions on our end, would he get in our team last season, this season, or when we had our injuries, and the answer is no, because he started off on the right, couldn't get a tune out of a League One left wing back, and had to revert to the left-hand side, and he was lucky he didn't get a yellow card, and possibly worse, try to wipe out Jack Clark. I was going through and go, then he's the centre of the referee, but just one of them things, isn't it? It was just the classic, a former player coming back to haunt Sunderland. I mean, it always seems to be the case whenever we play against them.
Yeah, it's just the Sunderland way, I guess, isn't it? One thing that before we go on to listeners' questions, the one thing that I want to pick up on, and we had a little chat before we started recording, and I think I made myself quite vocal on it, but I want to get your guys' opinion on it. I'm literally raging with Dodds' presser. Said before he came back for his third spell in temporary charge that I thought it would end very messily, and I didn't think it was a right player for the amount of games that was left to play. I wasn't impressed with his presser, and I'll go on to that in a second, but is Dodds being in charge at this particular time and for the length of period he's been here, is he now starting to border on creating a bad identity, that somebody who comes in has to completely turn around, and we're not even sure if he's going to be insisted upon us, really? Like, are we going to be stuck with him again for another manager? Because to me, he looks a little bit out of his depth, and I thought that all along, to be fair, even before the two-game spell that he had before Beale came in. Brad, what do you think? As I say, I was totally unimpressed with his press conference. I'm not sure he's a big enough stature to be trying to tell us that he's bored of watching a game of football when he's coaching it from the sideline.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because he's probably took over from Beale thinking, if I can just get off to a good start like I've done the last time, this could really kickstart my career as becoming what I want to be as a head coach. And I'm afraid it's went the complete other way. Now, what I've started to notice recently, I mean, I was all for maybe giving a dodge to the end of the season if they can get the right appointment in, right? But then when you've got players coming out in post-game interviews and referring to the gaffer as dodgy, it's only minor things like that, right? But did you ever hear David Beckham, Gary Neville, Roy Keane come out and say, or Fergie said, if we keep going? They never, or any of our players, talk about Peter Reid as Reedy. Even if they see Reedy now, they still call him gaffer.
I was just about that, literally just about the point I was about to mention. You see Beckham, and the fallout that he had with Ferguson was well documented. Still calls him boss. Tells you everything.
Cristiano Ronaldo still calls him boss when he sees him. That's the best, one of the best players of all time, with the best manager of all time. And it's through respect of what they've done in the game. And I think it's to the stage now where he's too pally with them, because he's been a coach and he's in amongst the boys on a day-to-day basis and has been for the last couple of seasons. They don't see him as a head coach. And it's sort of like, oh, well, if we lose or we don't play great, he'll give us a rollicking, but he'll be pally with it on the training pitch the following week. And I think that I do seriously think Dodds has took it over with all the right intentions, but it's actually become a serious detriment to his not legacy, to his name. Where does he go from here? That's the thing as well. Not just Sunderland as a club and our identity going forward, but where does Mike Dodds go from here? You can't just loan out. You can't loan out a coach to a League One side to get some experience like players. But then when he comes out in a post game and says, I was bored, I've never heard a manager say that to my mind anyway, about a team he's set up and he's sent out to come out and say he was bored. Well, what about us, the paying fans? How do you think we felt? Like, we're in the stands, seeing some glaringly obvious things that need to be changed or would like to see changed, and we have done for the last few weeks. And then for him to come out and say, I was bored, what does that do to the mentality of the players as well? Thank God there's only two games left, because I don't know if I can put up with much more of it.
Yeah, we always like to think that we offer a little bit of balance on what the folk, as I'm sure a lot of others do as well. But just before I come to you, Lee, with the same point, really, I don't think he comes across too well in his press conferences. He did try to allude to how the fans would feel if he was that bored. So I will, he didn't come across relatable, but I will give him small amount of credit. The fact that I think he was trying to put across what us as fans were seeing. I think he's done it terribly. And I think you're right. I don't think I've ever heard a manager publicly come out and say that was boring. Well, that's absolutely fine. But you're the one who sets the team up, so you're probably the one who needs to inspire, don't you think, Lee?
I 100% agree, mate. I mean, our coach of grassroots team, if I turn around and say to a parent, you know, I'm bored watching this, they'll probably have a go at me for not inspiring the kids to do better. If you're in charge of the whole thing, it's up to you to prepare them and put a team on the pitch to make you not bored and put your game plan in place. If you're sitting there saying you're bored, that means your game plan hasn't worked. So by rights, you should have a plan B. And if your plan B doesn't work, then you should have a plan C. But if you don't, then it's just the same argument I've had for the past 18 months that we don't have a plan B. Regards to where does this leave Mike Dodds, he could be one of them coaches who is a very, very, very good first team coach slash number two, but not a very good number one, because he likes to be pally with his players. And as number one, you can't be. You can't be like pally pally with your players, especially at a top level, is what we're trying to achieve. like, I think I remember when Aidan McGeady said on the Sun Until I Die about Chris Coleman, you go and get him based 3-0 away, then you're coming in the Monday and he's all laughing and joking with you. You can't do that. If you should have in your locker where you could give your players a bollock and where they're taken on board and they go and put it in place in the next week and you go and plan it the next week. I think it's SCFC Data Analytics does it every, like, you did a video the other week where Dawes just tries to put right what went wrong the week before and not plan ahead for what he's doing for this week. If the choice, I said this coming out, if the real first team choice is Paul Heckenbottom, why not get him in for the last two games of the season so he has an idea of what he can set himself up with for next season? But that's just me. But in the same regards to Mike Dodds, I don't think he has a future as a head coach, personally speaking.
Do you think it's the lack of respect from the players as well to back Dodds up? Because you think they've got that, not a little bit of fear of him because they know he's not ultimately going to be the head coach in the summer, so it doesn't really matter? Do they have that sort of, will that be a mentality that creeps in? It's sort of like, well, he's not going to be the one that's going to be in charge in the summer. I'll just impress then because there's an out left to play for. I don't want to get myself injured for the summer and what have you. And a couple of them will be knowing that they're injured. Jack Clark in particular are going to be pushing for a move elsewhere. Are some of them sort of like, well, I'm not going to be here. There's an out to play for. And they just, I don't know. They just see Dodds as a mate. That's my worry. They just see him as a mate that they've worked with every day, like another lad on the training pitch.
Yeah, I think it's certainly how it's coming across for us. And when there's so many people seeing the same thing, it's got to be hard to argue, really. To be honest, we've done really well to pick through a 1-0 defeat, a very, very boring 1-0 defeat at that as well. So I've got a few listeners' questions. We'll come to you firstly. Seems how Brad's gone first all the time. I quite like this one. Listen, don't know who they're referring to with that one, but listen, is Dodds the worst caretaker manager in football, particularly results-wise? Struggling to think of many worse. The list could include Shearer, John Carver, them lot up the road, Steve Keane at Blackburn, Lampard at Everton, Les Reed, Charlton. Have you got any more for that list, Lee?
No, but I would say Les Reed's the worst. Like, he's got to be the worst, hasn't he? I think he took over Charlton and he didn't even win a game of football. And he was sacked after 12 games. Well, you could put Michael Bale in that bracket if you're judging managers on 12 games. But I wouldn't say he's the worst caretaker manager in the world, but he's not far off.
Brothers, what do you reckon? Any more to add to the caretaker list?
No, I think he's, I wouldn't say he's the worst. It's just, he's not the most inspiring and he's probably not the most, when you bring a caretaker in, you would like to think they've got at least some experience of first team coaching behind, like first team managerial behind them. And he just hasn't, or even they've managed under 23s level and they've managed things like that. But I think Dodgy's always just been a coach, never been, even 23s, like, I would have been more for at the minute, given that Graham Murty, he's got a little bit more experience behind him. And it might have had some different results.
Certainly been in and around dressing rooms professionally, hasn't he, as a player? So I can totally understand that sentiment. The one thing I would say for Dodds, as a caretaker, you probably don't expect to be caretaken for as long as what he has been. to be getting on for double-figure games, I know he was told it was till the end of the season, but I think halfway through, if we could have gotten our man for the summer, it surely, and especially now in hindsight, surely would have been a good thing, Brad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know Dodds knows that it was interim head coach until the end of the season, but I honestly believe as well he thought it was either going to go really well or his pal upstairs speaking and would dig him out of a hole if it was going this badly and appoint someone just to help him out, even if it was coming in alongside him, or just look at Aberdeen. I know they got Neil Warnock and it was meant to be the end of the season. It didn't work out up there, but I think they might have looked, Dodds might have been hoping at some point someone's going to come in between now and the end of the season. Someone, a name will come up before then. And it just so happens it hasn't. And he's had to just, what Speakman said, plod on.
Yeah, massively. And I think that has become our identity, hasn't it? We're plodding on till the end of the season. We're probably lucky that we've had about 9 extra points on the board. Lucky, not necessarily, but it's a good job we had an extra 9 points on the board, because this could be a very, very different type of podcast, losing 1-0 to Millwall at home. What else have we got here? Brad, let's go with you. I think SAFC Lex is probably alluding to what we've been saying about him being too pally and stuff. But she says, why does Dodds look like he's a dad helping out on a school trip in his own clothes? Is he trying to look as unprofessional as possible? Either wear a suit or a tracksuit, but stop rocking up in your teenage son's club hoodie. It's so tin pot. I think that's... I do like how much of a tangent that's gone off onto my style. But I think it's probably saying exactly what we've been saying ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah. I had enough of hammering people's appearance as Bennett with Michael Beale in charge. What they turn up in to manage means nothing, to be honest. Means absolutely nothing. I mean, what do you call one of the greatest managers in the world, Pep? He wears a nice little snood sometimes, doesn't he? And looks like he's dressed to go around the town after a game. I'm not bothered what they wear. What I am bothered about is how they manage a team. That's all I can say to that one, really.
I mean, to be fair, they could be wearing a mankini for me if it was...
I was literally about to say, right, could turn up dressed as fucking Borat, but if he was good at the job as Alex Ferguson, I would not care. I'd turn up in a mankini.
Love it. Ross, we've got about 5 minutes left. So Ross Robson, I love Ross's opinions. We've had some back and forths over the couple of seasons that we've done the podcast, and I do like how he comes across a lot of the time. I won't put in the editing for Graham Ealy, Lee, but what is the point of it all? Why have we set up in a 5-5-0 formation at home to a less than superior team? Does Dodsy realise that the clean sheets cup isn't a real thing? Why am I still going to watch this less than superior football? Am I overreacting? I'll leave that one with you, mate.
Why are we playing up the back four? Because we're scared to get beat. Are you overreacting? No, because there was a part of me this morning that half past, 20 past two was thinking I could have an extra pint here and not bother going to the match today, but I decided to dust myself off and go anyway. We've all clamoured for it, but there's a way of, like, a boring mid-table finishes. There's a way of going about it. You can still put yourself about, you can still put a bit of effort in. And I saw nothing of that idea from anybody, whether that's the players on the pitch or the bloke on the sidelines. We've got one game left at home. See it out and hope we get a fresh start in the summer, all I can say. When we come back in August, because we all will do, let's hope it's a totally different story and it's the start of a new era, so to speak, of Sunderland Football Club, no matter who's in charge, and we get off to a good start and we have a good 2024-2025 season, where that's playoffs, promotion, whatever it is, just hope it's a good season.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty that would echo that, mate. We've got probably time for two, and I know that G likes to throw in a few funny ones. So I wasn't physically at the game today. I know you two were. But Nicola asks us, do you like the new pizza wraps that they're offering on the concourse? Personally, I think it shows a real obsession with progression. I don't know if either of you had one, but what's your thoughts on the sound of that, a new pizza wrap?
Sounds all right, but for me, I think our stadium's always had the best chicken balti pies, without a doubt, in English football. My uncle, Liverpool fan, he can't stand Sunderland, right? And he said he only ever used to come to the Sunderland games when we played Liverpool. it's just because he loves our chicken balti pies. And he used to buy a couple, take them home, and I think he used to keep one or two or freeze them because he loved them. yeah, so shout out to my uncle Ken. But yeah, when you've got Liverpool fans talking about your pies, you know they're good. So I'm going to stick my chicken balties if I'm at the ground.
What about you, Leith? Any pizza wrap for you today, or?
No, we'll just there go. What Brad said, the chicken balti pies are good. However, you can get them for half price in Tesco. But no, I never had any pizza wrap. But I'll keep an eye on out for them for the Chef Wednesday game because I don't mind a wrap and a pizza, so they might be all right, actually.
We can't now be
there. Now them dingy chicken things that went viral.
Aye.
What they call, whatever they were, they went viral. That's someone they're making these like chicken king do, whatever, flipping chicken balls or chicken dippers or whatever. And I went in rough with my brother once and I had three before the game. So I'm definitely going to try this pizza wrap. And if not, is it Nicola?
It is him. It is me. Yeah.
I'm going to bookmark that tweet. And if they're not very good, I'm going to come to you and ask you for my £8.50 back or however much they're charging these days.
Well, boys, we might not be the greatest football team in the world, but I think it's more than appropriate to say we have the best chicken balti pies in any football stadium in the world. And I'm going to take that as a positive way to end my Saturday night. So, as per usual, we've been What the Falk podcast without the Falkster. I hope he's having a good time. I hope we haven't ruined his likes and subscriptions. Please feel free to do so. To be honest, what I'd really like from our point of view is if we could get about like a 25% increase so that Graham feels really bad and like we prove that we can do it, then I'd really appreciate that. But from me, Dave, from Brad, he's been Brad, from Lee, we thank you very much and onwards and upwards. All the best.